Chapter 35. The young counselor seemed to float in place on the command platform, now suspended inside a great sphere, one half of which was also transparent. As I came up through the lift, I saw he was in the company of three others, in appearance much like himself. No doubt more young counselors. Two were male, one was female. Splendid Dust greeted me with one of his disconcerting smiles and introduced me to the others. The names of the two males I did not retain. My memory was so disordered and disjointed. But the female's name stuck with me. She was clearly a warrior servant by rate, taller than the others by a few centimeters, gracefully but powerfully built, and against all my old and inbred prejudices, she made my heart leap. Her name was Glory of a Far Dawn. They gathered to inspect me. Surrounded by this new breed of first-form forerunners, I felt wretchedly out of place. And in front of this warrior female, with her cool, sharp-eyed gaze lightly sweeping me, then turning aside, I felt like a distorted, storm-twisted stump in the middle of strong, green trees. However, they treated me respectfully enough, and watched with pride the council ship's approach to the capital of our civilization. We were a million kilometers away. The grandeur should have been overwhelming. I tried to share their pride, but more of the didact surfaced. He had been here before, 1,000 years ago, to stand in opposition to the wishes of the master builder. Not pleasant memories.
Greatness and power are often allied with defeat. It is how civilizations are shaped. Some ideas prosper, others die. The quality of the ideas has little to do with the outcome. It is personalities that matter. Pay attention to those around you.
A little cynical, aren't we? I spoke aloud. The counselors turned to me, all but Glory, whose eyes barely flickered. Splendid Dust drew their attention back to the capital itself, and I forced myself to go with this particular flow for now. It is with difficulty that I describe the capital as it was then, so little like anything in your experience. Imagine a planet 100,000 kilometers in diameter, sliced latitudinally like one of Reiser's favorite fruits. Allow those slices to drop in parallel against a plate. The slices are then pierced through their aligned lower rims with a stick. The plate is removed, and the slices are fanned out in a half circle. Now decorate each slice like a round stair step with an almost infinitely dense array of structures, and surround it with a golden swarm of transports and sentinels and a dozen other varieties of security patrols, thick as fog. No other world like it in the Forerunner universe. Here lay the center of Forerunner power, and the repository of the last 20,000 years of our history, housing the wisdom and accumulated knowledge of trillions of ancillas serving a mere 100,000 forerunners, mostly builders of the highest forms and ranks. There were so many ancillas for so few physical leaders, most never actually interfaced with a forerunner, and so never assumed a visible form. Instead, they performed their operations entirely within the ancilla metarchy, an unimaginably vast network coordinated by a metarch-level intelligence that answered ultimately to the chief counselor. As we approached this magnificence, a thin, silvery arc rose into view above and millions of kilometers beyond the southern axis. My blood cooled, and my heart seemed to thud to a stop. Slowly looming in an orbit slightly down star from the capital, staggered in perspective like the entrance to a tunnel, 11 great rings had been arranged in neat, precise parking orbits. Halos. The combined might of the Master Builder's weapons, all but one, had been moved to within a few million kilometers of the center of Forerunner power, separated by a minimum of distance and looped together by the slenderest curves of hard light. My other self expressed something beyond alarm, more akin to horror, and I had difficulty stifling an outburst.
They should not be here. Halos should not be allowed anywhere near the seat of governance. Even the Master Builder forbade such a thing. Something has gone very wrong.
The three males among the young counselors did not seem to find the rings even mildly disturbing. One said,
"When we intercept and retrieve the final one, perhaps then our portals will return to their full efficiencies. Moving useless monuments like these puts a strain on all space-time."
Another added, "They've set our reconciliation budget back several thousand years."
In the shadow of doom itself, they think only of commerce and travel.
Now the female warrior, Glory, faced me fully. Eyes still narrow, wary, as if unsure who or what I was, but seeking some sign that I recognized her disapproval of this scene. I met her look, but could say or do nothing. Too many internal contradictions. She looked away, disappointed, and stepped to the other side of the group on the command platform.
"How long must we suffer for the Master Builder's arrogance?" Splendid Dust said.
He then addressed me, utilizing, perhaps without realizing it, the forms of speech used towards those of a lower rate. "The weapons of the old regime have a regal beauty, do they not? Soon all will be gathered here, and a decision will be made as to their deactivation and disposition. Truly, this will be a new age for the Forerunners, an age free of suicidal madness and fear. A time of peace and security will soon be at hand." Within 5,000 kilometers of the capital, our ship was silently surrounded by the flowing rainbow pulses of the capital's controlling and meshing sensory fields, then chivied gently by hard-light docking nets. Hundreds of small service craft quickly flew up to surround us like a swarm of gnats around a campfire. Splendid Dust formally congratulated the ship's ancilla and in turn received a ceremonial token of record for the journey. A small golden disc bearing the cost of reconciliation from the Slipspace Fund. He requested immediate transport for all on the viewing platform to a reception hall 500 kilometers below, on the outer edge of the greatest of the fanned slices. I listened to the formalities with rapidly dulling interest. Something unpleasant was in the offing. That much I was sure. The didact within me was sure. I didn't care to distinguish between the two of me anymore. Together, we knew the Master Builder better than any of these young counselors. A forerunner of nearly infinite complexity and mental resources, cunning with as many centuries as the didact himself, wiser still in the ways of forerunner politics and technology. Splendid Dust watched two of his colleagues depart for their waiting transit craft, the males chatting happily about the journey they had just completed. He and Glory of a Far Dawn stayed with me. "We're moving you to a secure domicile," the young counselor told me. "You'll be afforded all the protection we merit as counselors, and perhaps more."
"Why?"
I asked.
"I can't complete my integration. I'm useless to myself, much less to anyone else."
I couldn't bring myself to offer him my even blunter assessment of his situation. Caution, above all. I could not know who was actually friend or foe, dupe or master. And I felt distinct shame before the warrior female.
"I admire your fortitude," he told me, "and your presence of mind, but in fact I am politely observing the request of the librarian, who may soon be able to return from her duties. When she does, we will, I hope, learn why you were so important and how you may finally be of use."
"She shouldn't come anywhere near this place," I growled.
"I agree," he said. "Not all those who had supported the Master Builder are content with the current state of affairs. But the Life Shaper rarely listens to reason. Builder reason, that is."
He gestured to Glory. "Accompany Bornstellar to his quarters and acquaint him with his security detail." She nodded and complied.